So good morning, everybody. Welcome to snowy northeast of England. Delighted to be launching another Business Builder podcast. This time, I'm really happy that we've got Andrew Silver from 360 Growth Partners. So I will not introduce him. Andrew, in 30 seconds, tell us who you are, please.
Okay, so nice to be on show today. I set up 360 Growth Partners about 8 months ago. I've spent most of my career in one fashion or another growing businesses, normally inside businesses. I spent a long time in the hospitality game, outside the area, came back in 2011 into a job and suddenly found myself a bit later on in a position where I started doing some consultancy work. That consultancy work ended up then developing into more partnership working, and I worked with a number of businesses for quite a long period of time, and that was really, I guess, the original start of why I set up 360 Growth Partners.
So what I always ask people, Andrew, why do you get out of bed in the morning? What kind of drives you as an individual?
So I suppose throughout all my career there's been some common themes. So I have always been extremely interested in developing people, developing teams, and growing businesses. So right from my days as a start-out sales guy, way back now, too many years to mention, I was always trying to work on what areas could we try and grow that business, what could we do. And then as I grew into sort of managerial roles, I started looking at how do we get teams to perform and to perform better, and I guess that's just gone on. So my main thrust now would be making it happen as a theme, growing teams, growing businesses, and I guess probably most fundamentally solving problems. And that tends to be why people engage now with 360.
And you know, when you're going into business, if I was going to go and ask someone that you've worked with before, if they were going to describe you in a couple of words, without swearing, of course, what would they be?
Well, actually, I'm very interested in personality profiling, so it's an area that I've spent quite a lot of time investigating, not at a technical level. There's a site called 16personalities.com, don't know if you've come across it. And it separates all of us into what our preferences are. And I come out as a executive sentinel. The hell that means. But actually what it pulls out, I guess three keywords I would say is analytical, decisive, and pragmatic. And the pragmatic is probably what I think now is becoming well thought of within the 360 Growth Partners and what we're doing with clients. Because I'm not about lots of theory. I'm about how do you take the learning from previous theories and apply it. It's all to me about pragmatic approach, and that goes the same for business planning.
And you know, you've talked a little bit about the journey sort of from management roles into leadership. Was there an obvious kind of time in your life when you said, I think that 360 Growth Partners, you know, and been able to pass on the things you've learned to other businesses. Was there a breaking point, or was there a light bulb moment that people talk about?
I think in some ways the light bulb moment, it was a quite long moment, when I started doing some consultancy work almost by accident rather than by design. And what seemed to come out of that was I started doing a small project, and then that moved into most of those clients. I worked with them for about a year and a half, 2 years. And what came out of those relationships was they desperately seemed to need someone on the outside who had multiple skill, which I guess at the time I developed through my career, who could offer long-term support as a genuine partner. And I guess that in its essence was the light bulb moment for me. So not operating as a consultant, not doing project here, project there, but actually working with companies on a long-term basis, understanding them inside out, understanding their business, understanding what their needs were, and then actually offering that external support, ears, eyes, and that probably was the start of Growth Partners.
If you don't mind me sort of probing a little bit into that, well, everybody says, well, I'm a consultant. I'm a business consultant, and I can give you advice. What makes what you do different to, and I actually think there's some excellent business consultants out there, by the way, but there's this perception of people, as you say, coming in, telling somebody what they already know, giving them a report, and then see you later. What is it that you do in particular that's different?
Well, I suppose I don't see 360 Growth Partners having many, many clients. I see us focusing on a small number of clients that have a growth mindset and who have a style of approach that will work with 360. And what I mean by that is genuine, down-to-earth, straightforward. And what do we offer different? I guess it is that straightforward advice, but not only the advice, we'll get stuck in and we'll actually work with that business on helping them solve problems.
Okay.
And when I've worked with most of the SMEs I've worked with so far, they've got a problem they need to unlock. Whether that is a people problem, whether that's a systems problem, whatever it is, they need help unlocking it. And most of them don't have the time, the headspace to work on those problems.
Okay.
So what we're genuinely doing is looking at almost what I call a 360 audit of that business, understanding what really makes it tick, but actually more than anything else, we're trying to help them solve problem getting from A to B on a specific problem. And what comes from, to carry on one more second, what comes from that is trust. So how do you earn trust? Well, you've got to be in there doing it to actually earn that trust. But so far, what we've become is someone that seems to have value to that SME and they want to engage on a long-term basis.
And you know, why do you think that is? You know, I have my own theory on that, you know, that bringing an advisor in. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that people are crying out for this kind of independent form of advice?
Well, I think actually it's interesting. First point is, are they crying out? I think some are.
Yeah.
So, I think it's the mindset. So I think there are and perhaps there is a swell of more and more people. And I think mentoring has become more in vogue recently. So people realizing that actually they don't have all the answers. And actually it's okay to ask the question and say, I don't know the answer. Where can I go to find that solution? So I think there is a growth of businesses and individuals who are now realising that it's okay to ask the question, where do I go for that support? Where do I go for help?
You are right in that it would be ideal for if everybody was crying out for this type of service. The right type of businesses are the ones that go, I know I need that service, or I know I need a range of individuals around me to support me on my growth. And actually, interestingly, one of the most recent podcasts we had, one of the business owners talked about, one of the things that he's learned is that he needs to show his vulnerability and show his weaknesses. And by doing that, you bring in some really good experts around you, and it's amazing what that can do psychologically to help you, you know, achieve your success.
A lot of people have referred to what we do as critical friend.
Yeah.
And actually, in some respects, that's what you are.
Yeah.
You hope that you develop a friendship relationship that they trust you.
Yeah.
And at times, you have to say things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you have to point out things that they probably don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But if you've got the basis of the relationship first, then probably that allows you the right to actually have that difficult conversation.
So we talked a bit about kind of the how people feel at the end and some really, really good things, which I completely agree with around bringing in great people into the business can have a great impact on the business friend and those things. If I can try and steal some of your IP to a certain degree a little bit, you go into a business, is there an obvious starting point that you think that when you go into a business that you think they should have these things in place that can give them an optimal amount of success, or you know, I'd like to go in and make sure they've got some foundations in place before we go to the next stage?
Yeah. Insight is critical. So the first part of any process for me, as much as possible, if they'll allow me, the client will allow us to do it, is to get that insight into their business, their market, what they're doing. Most people know in some regard what their challenges are. They may not have had too much time to focus on it. They may not have unlocked it.
Yeah.
So to me, the first starting point almost always is to try and unlock what the key issues are in that business, and they will be different. we have a strapline, which is people, performance, profit. Most problems start with people. That's not to say they won't have systems issues, but if you don't have the right people doing the right work, then irrespective of your systems issues, irrespective of your finance issues, the challenge you're going to have is actually getting from A to B, because you've actually got someone who's not functioning or who's not performing properly.
Yeah.
So is there a formula? There is a formula of going through a 360, what I call audit, and that's pretty much working using different models, working across the business. Fundamentally, what comes out of that is a report that says, actually, this is your key problem. We need to get into that. That's the next step for me, is to then unlock it, get underneath it, and work our way through.
And do you think, and there's always these kind of questions that we get asked as well, does everybody need a business plan? You know, so when you go into these businesses, are you expecting the best ones to have a 50-page business plan that they've written, that they're looking on a regular basis? Or again, I think
business planning is a really interesting area, because I think you and I have probably been around a bit longer than we would care to mention. And business plans in the old days probably were tomes that sat on the desk, held the door open, not many people read them.
Yeah.
I now, because I work with varying sizes of businesses, I try to work out what is the most appropriate scale of business plan that this company needs. Do they need something? Well, why are they looking for a business plan in the first place? Why are they looking for one? Is it because they want to raise money? Is it because they want to have a plan for the next 12 months? Is it because they see there's a growth plan for the next 3 to 5 years? All of those require different levels of insight, research, and planning. So there are some businesses that I will go in and, yes, many don't have a plan, funnily enough, but I won't be looking to put in a massive planning process, because that's not very agile in this world, and obviously everyone talks about how agile is what it's about, and I in my business planning processes will find the right size of plan for that organisation. And that might be as basic as a one-page overview of what's our vision, what's our mission, what's our goals, how do we get from A to B, what does this person do, what does that person do, and it's almost just a basic framework that can go into obviously a far more detailed 3 to 5 year growth plan.
And what do you find, because we do, you know, when someone says I haven't got time to do planning, you know, have you come across that?
Very, very regularly, yes.
What's the response to that?
Well, there's an obvious one, but for me, it is a challenge. I mean, I could say, well, make the time, but actually for busy SME owners, that is their biggest challenge. I suppose most have engaged with 360 because they have realised they have got some issues, and therefore some of what they realise they need to do is take some time out. So that time out is probably, it's not such a leap to say, well, we need to spend some of that time actually just understanding where you are, where you're trying to go, and what are the key problems.
Mm-hmm. If I can go a little bit back, you talked about the strap line around from people, performance, profit. When you go into businesses and they share what their challenges are you finding regular themes? So is it the people that tends to always be the thing at the top, or actually are there new things that you're finding that as you're going into businesses?
I think it does depend on the business and where it's at.
Yeah.
People is a very, very common issue, whether that's board level, whether that's within the senior management team, whether that's the recruitment processes. There's a lot of areas that for improvement. If the people piece looks relatively okay, probably the next thing is performance management. And what I mean by that, I'm very pyramidic in the way I look at things. So that is almost understanding what your goal is at the top and working that right the way down to, are the people that are engaged at the more junior level or middle management, are they actually engaged in activity that is going to help you as a business deliver your end goal?
Mm-hmm.
And an awful lot of challenges around that, whether that's just because they don't understand what their true KPIs are for the business, whether they've got too many, whether they're lost in data, trying to really articulate, well, what are our top of the pyramid KPIs, and then actually how do we make sure that each individual down the pyramid is actually doing something that's working towards that rather than busy fools running around, mm-hmm. that's probably the next major issue that we find.
So you've talked a bit about sort of, was it a little bit around strategy, you know, and as you said, I completely agree, you know, 5-page business plans, 1-page business plans, they should be agile depending on the type of business. Then having the right people in place to help you deliver on that plan. Then rightly so, interestingly, then go into that performance management piece. And everybody then goes, oh yeah, I do appraisals on a yearly basis. You know, what great examples have you seen when you've gone into businesses or that you've helped create around really strong performance management systems then, or just processes or culture that drives success? Is there any kind of things you could share with us?
I think a lot of it is cultural. And that is about people being able to own up to actually mistakes to start with. Mm-hmm. So to me, a performance management is not just about whipping somebody. In fact, it's not about whipping somebody.
Yeah.
It's about supporting that person to perform. So I think good businesses that have got performance management right, they've taken almost looked at their staff journey the same way they've looked at their customer journey. And they've actually said, okay, when someone joins this organisation, what do we want to look like from the starting point? What do we want that person to do? How do we develop that person? It is a journey and an ongoing journey that people, a good company, so I think, have invested in getting that right.
And slightly in a similar bit, how do companies now adapt to the fact that in some organisations you've got people who are hitting retirement age, people who are coming in at 16, 17 with... You know, we can talk about all generation X, Y, Z and all these kind of things. How do companies adapt to that as well then? Because surely, you know, for somebody who's reaching retirement who has varying different cultures and values compared to, you know, your 17, 18, is there a way that businesses can improve or learn from others around that as well?
Just because you're a different age, I think this is about values. And, you know, I've got relatively young kids. I guess, unfortunately, they're probably going to share some of my values.
Yeah.
But actually, therefore, I think if there's a very strong value set within an organisation and you're recruiting to those values, actually it doesn't matter whether you're 65 on retirement or whether you're 16 coming out. Of course, their technical skill, I'm sure, will be very different.
Yeah, sure.
And their ability to use technology will be very different. But actually, if you've got a clear values that you're recruiting people by, I don't see why there'd be a particular issue between the age gap.
And I think that's a really good golden nugget around that strategy. And we found sometimes when you go into businesses, you know, that sometimes some of the businesses think it's fluffy stuff. This vision, mission, core values. You know, this word brand. Well, I've got a logo. You know, that's all I've got. But what we found, and you just articulated there, is the best businesses truly believe in that, spending time on behaviours, culture, because ultimately you bring great people in alongside that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I get the fluffy stuff,
yeah.
And maybe some people will think that, but actually to me, what you're doing is you're doing, like any sporting team, you are looking at what's my goal, how am I going to achieve it, and actually you're putting in measurement framework, that's the critical bit, that then evaluates how are you doing on that journey and are you reaching that goal. If that's fluffy, then hey, I'm a Chinaman.
Yeah. If I can ask a question, which I ask a few people who have done the podcasts, if you could go back 5 or 10 years, you know, the Marty McFly moment, and catch yourself while you're on the progression from manager to leader and consultant, would you tell yourself to do anything different on that journey?
Yeah, I would. Not in terms of probably where I am in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I, as I said in my career, I think destiny's far too strong, but there's almost a feeling of actually what I've done all my career is business growth in one fashion or other. I'm now doing it, helping other companies grow. I think one of the things, and it's probably become more, we talked about a bit in business planning, it's become more in vogue, if that's the right word, or maybe it's just skill and mindset. The word iterative. And what I mean by that is, I've always been a planner. I've always been someone who has a very clear goal, clear, you know, route to get there. I've learned through working with people over years that sometimes you need to iterate more. and what I mean. So that's a bit more around that agile.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I guess now, particularly when I work with lots of different businesses of different sizes, I have to think what works for that business in that space, that size, and maybe the 3 to 5 year plan is of no use to them at this point. Let's iterate. So let's create almost the next 3 months. Let's create the next. As long as we've got some overall framework, so that's the vision and mission and some other components called values that hold the whole thing together, then actually it's fine to iterate. It's fine to just, well, let's look at the next 3 months. Mm. Let's look at the next 3 months, because actually the world changes so fast that actually if you put a plan in place for the next 12 months, you can bet your bottom dollar something's happened in that 12 months has changed your plan.
I think it's a really powerful message because you know, passing that on to other SMEs, that also means you don't need to have to spend days, weeks, months on a business plan. Actually, you can do it in small bite-sized chunks and get an incredible amount of value from that.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Absolutely right.
Final question that I ask, and if you could give, or if there's one bit of advice that you've been given that you feel is the most powerful that you would pass on to anybody you met who's on the journey of growing a business or is growing it right now, what would it be?
I think there are two things, whether they're a piece of advice or whether they're more sort of mantra related.
Yeah.
What gets measured gets done. I've seen so many businesses where just by focusing on an area, you see improvement. And that's stuck with me. I've seen it many, many times over. Obviously, if you've got too many to focus, then that's a bit challenging. But if you can just focus on an area, you will see improvement. So measure it. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely what gets measured gets done.
Great. Brilliant. We've had a lot of good nuggets there. We've talked about strategy, people, performance management. The what gets measured get done, again, I think is a really, really good mantra. The thing that I've in particular really like what we've talked about there as we've delved a little bit deeper is that culture piece that underpins strategy, people, and I suppose the measurement thing there as well. So thank you very much, Andrew. That was really, really great. Hopefully people have found a lot of use from this Business Builder podcast, and we'll be back soon, and have a great day. Cheers.